Hi, everybody. You're listening to Relationship Doctor. I'm Dr. Steven Snyder, and today we're going to talk about how to handle negative self-talk on a date. Here's the problem with dating. You don't usually know the other person so well, so you have no idea what they're really thinking. If you're at all self-conscious, it's easy to assume the worst. Today, I'm going to show you some really useful techniques for keeping your cool on a date. But first, let me tell you a story. It's one I got from Dr. Aaron Beck, an elder statesman in the mental health field and the father of what's now called cognitive therapy. This story involves a young woman Dr. Beck treated when he was just starting in practice 60 years ago, way back in the 1950s. She happened to be quite sexually adventurous, and she slept with a lot of men. Given that this was the 1950s, that raised a lot more eyebrows than it would today. She'd often fill the sessions with vivid descriptions of her most recent sexual encounters. At the end of one such session, Beck thought to ask her how she was feeling. She said she was feeling very anxious. Beck suggested that maybe she felt anxious because she was telling him all this intimate stuff. "Actually," she said, "I was afraid I was boring you." It turned out the main reason she'd been filling the hour with all these sexy stories was because otherwise she was pretty sure he'd think she was very boring. In fact, it didn't matter whether she was on a date or in therapy or anywhere else. The thought, "I'm a boring person," was never far from her mind. We humans seem to have a natural tendency to assume the worst about ourselves. Negative self-talk just seems to be in our DNA. Once Dr. Beck recognized this, he went on to found a new school of therapy called cognitive therapy. It's centered around something called automatic negative thoughts and how to change them so they don't cause so much trouble. Automatic negative thoughts makes a great acronym, ANTS. ANTS can often ruin a good date, just like real ants can spoil a picnic. Automatic negative thoughts, or ANTS, don't come with labels attached that say, "This is an ant." Instead, they usually come with labels that say, "This is reality." That can be pretty scary. The first thing is to remember what Dorothy's dog Toto did in The Wizard of Oz. He pulled back the curtain, revealing that the great and powerful Oz was not in fact a wizard at all, but just a little guy pulling levers and speaking into a microphone. In other words, not reality at all, just an ant pretending to be reality. Let me show you how a knowledge about ants can be useful in the dating world. Let's say Michelle is on a first date with John. As they're talking together, Michelle becomes aware of a very distressing thought that says, "I'm boring him." Naturally, this thought comes with a mental label attached that says, "This is an important piece of reality. You'd better pay attention to it, or really bad things might happen." In other words, the great and powerful Oz has spoken. Now, if Michelle decides to obey the great and powerful Oz by ending the date as quickly as she can before John realizes she's boring, that's just going to make the great and powerful Oz even more powerful. Unfortunately, the more you obey automatic negative thoughts, the stronger they tend to become. But let's say that instead of cowering in the presence of the great and powerful Oz, Michelle decides, maybe this isn't reality at all. Maybe this is just an ant. Hey, that's a good first step. The next step is to look for evidence, one way or the other. Let's see. Does John look bored? No, actually, he seems quite interested. This may well be an ant. Michelle might also consider the fact that she always thinks people are bored by her. How realistic can that be if it seems to apply to everyone? Definitely ant material. Finally, Michelle might ask herself how many fascinating people she actually knows. Not many. So how fascinating does she really have to be in order for this man to appreciate her? Probably not as fascinating as she thinks. You don't need a therapist to practice the cognitive therapy techniques Dr. Beck popularized in the 1960s. All you need is to stop obeying your automatic negative thoughts and start questioning them. But as you can see, this involves doing a whole logical analysis. That can feel kind of clunky when you're just trying to enjoy yourself on a date. Isn't there anything easier? Actually, there is. It's called mindfulness. With mindfulness, you're not trying to change your automatic negative thoughts. You just do your best not to get too emotionally involved with them. Emotions are how your mind tags what's important. If you respond to your automatic negative thoughts, your ants, with lots of emotion, your mind is going to assume they're important and give them lots of attention. They'll be like Kim Kardashian, always showing up on page one because, well, because she's Kim Kardashian. Instead, what you want is for your automatic negative thoughts to be like celebrities nobody cares about anymore. There's a Buddhist saying about this that I like very much. Let your thoughts come into your home, it says. Just don't serve them tea. If you're Michelle, you might tell yourself, oh yeah, that's a thing my mind does, always telling me I'm boring. Let's make sure I don't serve it any tea. You with me so far? Good. Now, sometimes automatic negative thoughts are completely unconscious. The only way you know they're there is that you find yourself feeling bad for no reason at all. Let's say you're Michelle again. You're out on another date with John, and things seem to be going well. It's your third date together, which, if you live in Manhattan like me, is a big deal. Because on a third date, things tend to get physical. You've finished dinner, and you're about to order dessert. All of a sudden, you feel really sad. That's weird. Everything was going so well. There's nothing going on right now that would account for your feeling sad. Must be one of those automatic negative thoughts. But which one? No idea. So, let's talk about what to do from here. Well, you could practice mindfulness. Just notice the bad feeling and make sure not to serve it any tea. But it sure would be nice to get more information about what's really going on. You know, now might be an excellent time to excuse yourself to go to the restroom so you can follow the feeling and see where it might lead. Let's say it's a few minutes later. You're standing at the sink looking at your reflection in the mirror. You become aware of the following thought. He and I are probably going to get physical tonight, and he won't like it. Or maybe I won't like it. Either way, it's not going to work. And I'm going to be back at square one, going on endless first dates and knowing everyone I meet is going to think I'm boring. Ah, you think, sneaky little ant. There you are. You take a deep breath, you tuck in your shirt, apply some lipstick, and head back out to the restaurant, smiling secretively to yourself. You've got this. This is Stephen Snyder, the Relationship Doctor. Do you have relationship questions? Email me at relationshipdoctor@quickanddirtytips.com. You might even hear your question on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook and check out my new book, Love Worth Making. Listen and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's all. Thanks for listening. Please note that all content here is for informational purposes only. This content does not replace the professional judgment of your own mental health provider. Please consult a licensed mental health professional for all individual questions and issues.